Fred Film Radio.
I'm Angelo Acerbi, Fred Film Radio, and I'm very glad to have with me here live from Los Angeles, Tony Bancroft. Good morning. Well, yeah, good morning for you. Good night for me, but good morning for
you. Yes, good evening for you and good morning for me. But yes, very nice meeting you, Angela.
We are here to have this chat because you were one of the hosts of the View Festival that happened in Turin last week, and which was an all-online festival about special effects and visual effects in cinema. And actually, you are one of the most important people to talk about this because you have a kind of a long experience, let's say. First of all, I wanted to talk about the class that you had at View. You had a class on the creation of comical characters in animation.
Yes, correct. That was something I really enjoyed doing. And I did that on Saturday morning, my time. And it was a 2-hour workshop on creating characters for comedy. I've got a lot of experience with that because I worked at Disney for over 12 years as an animator myself before I got into directing and producing. And I mostly, I was pretty typecast actually doing comedy characters. So that's all I did.
And listen, which is the most difficult thing to do when you build up a comic character in animation?
Well, I think you want to kind of figure out the rules of not only the tone of the film by talking to the director, and how that character needs to propel sequences in a more comedic way, but also you have to have an understanding of the tone of the character and the overall. Are there, if it's a character like Pumbaa, which I animated in The Lion King, does he play off of Timon and Simba, and how is the joke set up? Are they supposed to be surprising? Like when he says, "Oh, gee, I always thought they were balls of gas burning billions of miles away." That's coming off of a setup of Simba talking about how the kings of the past are dead and they live on in the stars above us. And it's a very serious, kind of intense moment. So when you cut to Pumbaa and he says his balls of gas line, and then Timon says, "Ah, Pumbaa, everything with you is gas." You know, it works because of the setup. And it works because of the tone in that moment. And then Pumbaa breaks that tone. So knowing the context of where the character fits into the story, into the moment, is really key for success.
So you are, as a animator, as a creator of an animated character, you have in a very strict link with the film director, because you must talk with him a lot because you need to know stuff before.
Exactly. I mean, it's really no different than a live action director and a live action actor in a movie. That communication is really key. I need to know what's going on, what the director is thinking, what the tone is of the scene, what the outcomes are, and so that I don't step on anything that was well intended. I could go really crazy with my visuals and go more like a Warner Brothers or Tex Avery kind of cartoon with big takes and, but that wouldn't be right for the tone, in this case, of Lion King. Although there was a scene where Pumbaa does have a big take moment where his eyes were like, "She's gonna eat me!" when Nala is hunting Pumbaa before they meet. But it has to be appropriate for that moment in the film. And so that's the discussion with the director.
You worked on the Beauty and the Beast as well. You make a step up and you became co-director of Mulan. So my question is, how did your work changed in when you became a co-director instead of being a simple, if I can say simple, character?
I went from understanding small moments. When you're an animator, you just care about the moment that your character is existing in a scene, in a shot. And that's all I care about. And that's all I concentrate on. But as a director, you have to understand the dynamics of the overall arc of the characters, the overall arc of the storytelling and plot. And therefore, I don't get as much into the minutiae as a director as my animators do. And they're all about, how many footsteps does it take for my character to get from point A to point B? And I don't have to concern myself with that as a director. I just have to say, he's got to be angry as he approaches this door, and I want him to throw open the door and shout this, you know, this angry line at this other character. So I'm more concerned about the emotions, the overall, how does it, the tone of the scene work out? Whereas the animators they're concerned about the minutiae.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I wanted to talk to you about you also wrote a book.
Yeah.
You wrote a book called Everything You Did Not Learn at School. So which are the things that you did not learn at school?
It's called Directing for Animation. And then the subtitle is Everything You Didn't Learn in School, in art school. Well, in art school, they don't teach you about what it is to be a director. In art school, it is more about the entry-level jobs of character design and storyboarding and animation. And then when you get into the industry, this is the thing that I discovered and why I wrote the book, is that as I was asked to, I was the youngest directors in Disney history when I was asked to co-direct Disney's Mulan at the age of 27. And I had no training whatsoever. There was no, I didn't shadow any other directors. There was no training school for being a director in animation at Disney. There was no classes to take. And I felt, very unprepared, and it was just kind of thrown into the deep end of the swimming pool. And I had to learn by making a lot of mistakes. And it took a while, but I got better and better at it as I was making the film. But that's a tough thing to do, is learn while you're making $100 million movie, with all the responsibilities that come with that. So yeah, that's why I wrote the book, is I wanted other people to have that experience of, here's all the things that you don't know about working with groups and getting the best out of other artists and being able to communicate your vision to a large group of people. Those are the things that I learned.
I wanted to close our interview with one last question about Animal Crackers, which is a film that you're working on for Netflix. So what can you tell us about the film? Where did the idea came from?
Well, the film is already out on Netflix.
It's already out, yeah.
Yeah, it came out this summer in July. So people can go see it. It's on there currently. What was the thing that I learned about it?
How was the idea of the film? Where did you get the idea of it?
Well, my co-director and the producer of the film, Scott Saba, is the one that started that film. And he wrote the story. He actually wrote the script for it. But it's based on a story that he would tell his kids at night before putting them to bed. It was something that they would just keep working on and playing with these characters and this idea of, these little animal cracker cookies that are shaped like an animal. And when you pop them in your mouth and eat it, you turn into that animal. And that was a game that he played with his sons when they were very young. And that became the impetus for this whole, circus story with these magical crackers. It was fun. I really enjoyed working on it.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot to Tony Bancroft for sharing your time with us. And from Los Angeles, I'm Angelo Acerbi from Torino for Fred, the Festival Insider. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.